Welcome to the podcast of Radius Church. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
So yes, you guys get to hear from me today, the youth guy. And so yeah, we're gonna play a game. Who likes to play games? Anybody like to play games? Yeah? Okay, cool. I'm joking, we're not gonna play games, okay? I don't want to break anything, all right? Pastor Craig left me in charge, and that's scary enough, okay? All right. But what I am going to do is we're going to do a little bit of an illustration. Many of you guys raised your hands because you guys like to play some kind of game. Who played a sport in middle school or high school or even in college? Lift your hand if you played any kind of sport at some time. See, that's a lot of hands up, okay? How many of you guys say that maybe you played volleyball to some degree, okay? Like you really enjoyed volleyball. Any basketball players in the house that we got? Okay, we got some basketball players. Football players. I know we got Sam over here. We got some football players. How about any wrestlers? Do we have any wrestlers in the building? We got some wrestlers in the building. All right. I wrestled too in high school. Really enjoyed it. And in middle school. So let me ask you this next question. Who really enjoys a good challenge? Raise your hand. If you say you're like, I enjoy a good challenge, like you like to test your skills, no matter what it is. Maybe it's puzzle solving or something like that, but you generally would say, you know, I enjoy a good challenge. Number of you raise your hand. Some of you guys are like, well, I don't know about that. Like, a good challenge means that you're going to put your skills to the test. It's not going to be something easily done, you know, for the likes of anybody. And so, but sometimes it can be fun, unless you're talking about Pastor Daniel, for those of you guys who know who I'm talking about. Okay, he's just mean, okay? He just pounds you into the ground if you work out with him, okay? But many of you guys said you guys have played some kind of sport, so you know what a challenge is to some degree. You've faced a really good opponent. You went up against a really good team. Whatever it is, in every situation changes. Because maybe you're in a situation where you're like, I don't need any more challenges, dude. Like, I don't want to go through anything else. I don't want to test any more skills. I've done it enough, okay? I generally like a good challenge. Something you'll learn about me is that there is not, I'm trying to be able to say this where it's not confusing, okay? I have yet to face a knot, a tangled up mess of string of some kind, that I have not been able to untie without breaking. Okay, I'm talking even fish line. I've done fish line, and I'll sit there for an hour because I'm like, I will win. Okay, I'm like, it's mine, and I must defeat it. Okay, it's just what I do. Like, you just give it to me, I'm like a little child. I'm like, I will be here forever. You no longer have to entertain me. Okay, all right. If I come over to your house and you're like, here's a knot, like, you won't have to talk to me. Okay, I mean, you can. I just will barely respond. Okay, I will be like, okay, and you'll hear me grunt. Okay, So yeah, now I need some help. I need some big guys who's willing to help me demonstrate. Sam, would you be willing to help me out? Jacob, you willing to help me out? Maybe anybody else willing to help me out and say they want to stand up and just come right over here. Sam, stand right here. Okay. Billy, you can stand right there. You come stand right here. Okay. Jacob, why don't you come all the way over here? I'm gonna make you walk. Okay. I'm gonna give you a challenge, and I'm gonna have you stand right here. Okay, can I get one more person? Anybody? Lucas? All right, come on here, Lucas. All right, and I'm gonna have you stand right over here by this. Billy, why don't you move just right over there? Be kind of a little bit of a zigzag. Go right over there by the pole. Okay. Now, I played football in middle school, not high school. Okay, I'm a small guy. Okay, you may not believe that, but I even have very small hands. For a guy, okay? If I put it up to most girl hands, we have about the same size hands, okay? All right? And when it comes to playing instruments or playing sports in general, that's kind of a problem, okay? Especially when a guy has a hand that's almost twice the size of yours, okay? Now, as you can see, they're all bigger than me, okay? I'm standing here and I'm scared already, all right? And I have a football in my hand. Imagine me trying to run past these guys and they have to stop me. Okay? Okay, yeah, I'm not going to do that. Okay? Right? This would be very difficult. Even if I'm faster, okay, and more agile than any of them, I'm most likely going to lose at some point because Sam's not going to let me win. Okay? He's competitive and he's far younger than I am. You guys can sit down. Thank you. Give him a hand. Would you guys give them a hand, please? Now, because of my also very small hands, and I think this is actually a girl-sized basketball, which is great because I can actually almost palm this, okay? But even then, I struggle because, again, I have small hands. I didn't do great in sports, okay? I'm giving you guys a little bit of history about me. Raise your hand if you're left-handed in the house. Any left-handed people in the house? That's a lot of left-handed people in the house. Guess what? I'm also left-handed. And you know what? We have struggles, okay? All right? And that includes sports. That includes typing and writing and all of the things that come with life, okay? Including scissors. I hate scissors, okay? All right? Don't ask me to cut anything. It's okay. Leave the ball. It's just a ball. It's meant to be a distraction. I'm distracting you guys from everything, okay? This is the point. Trust me. It'll all make sense, okay? I'm getting there, all right? Now, some of you guys might be like, well, Zach, what does this have to do with anything and about the Bible and the Word of God, okay? Well, it all depends on your situation, okay? Because while I enjoy a good challenge, some of you guys didn't necessarily raise your hands, so you're like, well, what we're going to talk about today is understanding God. And the best way to be able to understand God is to realize something very important, and that we have to know the Word of God, the Bible, in order to understand God. And this is a challenge that many people do not like to accept. They find it very difficult in life, okay? Doesn't matter what age you are. You will always find someone who's just like, I tried to read it, but I just couldn't get through it. I've talked with some people, and they're like, you know, the farthest I've gotten is like eight verses in the Bible. That's about all I've ever read other than if you read it to me, okay? Like, they just have a hard time. Some people just don't generally know where to start. Most pastors will tell you to start in Matthew or somewhere within the New Testament, you know, something that's going to be a little bit easier. Usually the life story of Jesus, you know, we're gonna make it a little bit easy. Because if you start off in Genesis, you could get confused pretty quickly. You might get bored pretty quickly, even if you make it through Genesis, okay? Eventually you're going to be like, I don't understand. Okay, you're going to run into something that's really not up your alley, especially if you've never grown up in church, okay? Which happens more and more today where people, kids, young people, even millennials, people my age who didn't grow up in church, okay? Who didn't grow up with the same challenges some of us had, okay? I remember when I went to college, and I remember looking on Facebook, okay? And I remember I had friends who were posting for the first time that they were at college, and they're like, first time doing laundry in my life. And I'm like, I've been doing laundry since I was 8. Where are you at? Like, you, what do you mean your mom did laundry for you? They're like, and then I read the comments, yeah, my mom even folded and put away all my clothes. I don't even know how to do that. And I'm like, what? Like you are missing out, guy. Okay, like you have been babied, and I hope you can make it through college at this point because I'm scared for you, okay? His name was Scott, by the way, Scott Woodrick. I still remember his name, okay? I remember a lot of people I went to high school with. You'd be surprised as you get older, the people that you remember and the stories that you have. But what I want to do today is we're going to break down Scripture. We're going to take Acts chapter 10, and we're going to break it down together. I'm going to show you what I have learned over the last, like, month of reading this chapter. I've been stuck in it, and every week I've learned something new from it, okay? And I might not be able to share everything that I've already learned from it, but we're just going to look at the basics of what is it saying, what does it mean, and what? How do we apply it to our lives? How is this going to help us, okay? So this is the challenge, and we're going to work through this challenge together, okay? I love Acts, but again, if you don't understand the story of Jesus, you're going to have a hard time understanding Acts, okay? That's why we generally tell you to start off in Matthew. Read the Gospels, the first four books, okay? So Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 8. Now, there's 48 verses, so I apologize. There's going to be a lot of reading and a lot of chunks that we're going to go through, okay? At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion that was known as the Italian Regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day at about 3 p.m, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius. Cornelius stared at him in fear. What is it, Lord? He asked. The angel answered, "You pray, your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea." When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was with one of his attendants, told them everything that had happened, and sent them to Joppa. Okay? So here's the start. Here's our starting point of the story. And we get a lot of information very quickly. This isn't like your TV show where it takes two seasons to learn about the characters, okay? Like, the Bible is like, whoop, we're there, okay? It's very quick. We get some information. We get enough to be able to understand what's happening. So from what we just read, what did we learn? That there's a guy named Cornelius, okay? He's a centurion known as the Italian Regiment. I'm already scared, okay? Personally, I'm like, I already know about the Italian mob. I feel like he started it, okay? That's a joke, by the way, all right? I'm kidding. But if we continue on, there's some other things we learn. He and his family, devout and God-fearing, okay? They've got standards. They've got morals. They're following the Jewish law as much as they can and all these things, okay? Other thing that we learn, okay? Gave generously and prayed regularly. Super awesome. Great stuff, okay? Very quick, to the point, this is what we've learned, okay? So we've got a character, we've got a setting, we understand his occupation, what he's capable of, all these types of things, okay? How much he loves God, he's devout, prays regularly, okay? He doesn't just pray, right? He says he prays regularly. That's an important statement to be able to have, all right? So what else have we learned? Is there anything else that we've learned? Well, he had a vision from God, okay? Vision from God, and that Cornelius was afraid, but spoke to the angel in the vision, okay? So, here's what's important, is that fear's going to happen in life, okay? We're all going to end up being afraid of something, whether it's a spider, a snake, whether you want to get more deep, and it just being losing a family member, okay? Losing your own life, traveling, you know, at night, in the rain, because, you know, maybe you have astigmatism and it's very hard for you to be able to do that. My wife is one of them, okay? Like, I get it. There are certain concerns and things that we have in our life that will make us afraid. But here's the important part. It says, but he spoke to the angel in his vision. Imagine if he was so afraid and he didn't speak to the angel. What would have happened? Well, it's hard to be able to say. We're guessing at this point, right? But I can say that maybe the vision would have just ended, right? Someone shows up, if they knock at your door, okay, right? You answer and you say, hello, how can I help you? Okay, right? And then they give you a statement, okay? Some kids don't know that these days because no one knocks at anybody's door anymore, okay? Except for those who are trying to sell you something or other things. So, right? You get a phone call. Most people today, they don't even answer the phone anymore. They're like, I don't know that number. Okay, let me go to voicemail. I loved it when I was a kid and the phone rang, right? It was like, ooh, the phone's ringing. Who is it? Okay, right? And then you got to guess who it was, all right? So that was always the fun part growing up. So, yeah. So here's the other thing that we learned. Prayers and generosity have reached God as a memorial offering. This is a big thing, okay? This is the biggest statement out of everything that's now happened. All right? Why? Because we're understanding something that has taken place and why God is giving him this vision because of something that Cornelius has done. Okay? But the interesting thing is how it all happens, and it's in Leviticus chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And this is where we learn about a memorial offering and what exactly that means. It says, when anyone brings a grain offering to the Lord, their offering is to be of the finest flour. They are to pour olive oil on it, put incense on it, and take it to Aaron's sons, the priests. The priest shall take a handful of the flour and oil, together with all the incense, and burn this as a memorial portion on the altar, a food offering, an aroma pleasing to the Lord. The rest of the grain offerings belongs to Aaron and his sons. It is a most holy part of the food offerings presented to the Lord. So something you may not understand about the Levites, the priests, and those back in the day, okay, as you would kind of consider pastors, okay, they didn't get paid, okay? They didn't get really money. They didn't, this was their job, and it was their job to their society and their culture, and it was something that they were told to be able to do. So the way God took care of them is that part of the offerings that would come in is he would make sure that a portion of it got set aside to be able to feed them, to take care of them. So when I read that and I understand what happens with the Levites and the priests as I look at it, and I'm like, okay, so because Cornelius took care of the poor, because he was generous, and because of his prayers that the priests would then also pray when doing those types of offerings, right? God took that because of what Cornelius did, because of his faithfulness, his caring for the lowly people. God said, this counts as a memorial offering. This is equal to that of what the Jewish would bring to me, what you have done. Okay? So what do we get out of that? God cares for the less fortunate. Okay? God cares for it enough to be able to say that when you take care of them, it's an offering to God. Right? So all the work that our food pantry people do, everything you guys do, your hard work, the prayers that you pray to be able to meet those needs and those things come in, that's a memorial offering to God. Okay? That's what you have done every single week, every time you work, right? Every time you pray for those types of people that come in through these doors every single week. Okay? Now, here's the other portion, though. Now, this does not mean that we get to heaven by good works. Okay? You have to also remember that he prayed regularly. He was devout and God-fearing. All of those combined equaled faith in God. Okay? You can't read this and say, okay, well, if a good person takes care of the poor and blah, 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 and does, you know, and works in a food pantry, that they're going to then go to heaven. No, because you have to understand all of the things that Cornelius did equaled to that memorial offering. It's just an offering, right? But it was everything else that allowed it to be able to be counted as that, because he was faithful, because he was devout, because he was God-fearing. All of these things equaled his faith, which accounted that to be able to be a memorial offering. Okay? I hope that makes sense. Okay? So if we continue on, all right, we're going to be able to talk about a little bit about Peter, okay? Peter's a fun character in the Bible, okay? If you don't know his story, he's got a long story, okay? He's one that takes a little bit of time to build up to, okay? He takes about 3 seasons, all right? And then you start to like him, right? Unless you're crazy, and then you like him from the beginning, and you're just, and then I'm going to pray for you, okay? Acts chapter 10, verses 9 through 23 that we're about to read, okay? About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat, and while the meal was being prepped, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its 4 corners. It contained all kinds of 4-footed animals, as well as reptiles and birds. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened 3 times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out, asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, 3 men are looking for you, so get up, go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them," that's important, "for I have sent them." Peter went down and said to the men, "I am the one you're looking for. Why have you come?" The men replied, "We have come from Cornelius the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to ask you to come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say." Then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests. The next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the believers from Joppa went along. Okay. Gotta love how God sets up this whole story, okay? We got 1 vision. We got 2 visions. These men are on their way. They're pretty much approaching the house. They found it. And all of a sudden, right, Peter hears from the Spirit, "Hey, yo, 3 men are looking for you. Go downstairs." Okay. Now, I'm just going to be honest, okay? If I was here at the church, just praying. Let's just pray. And I had a vision. We're walking around. And I'm like, oh, I wonder what that means. And then all of a sudden, three people pull up in a car outside. And the Holy Spirit's like, hey, go to the front. Some men are here to be with you. I'm going to be like, oh, snap. And if I walked out there and there's three men, I'm going to be like, oh, dang. Okay. All right. What are we doing, Jesus? Like, what's going on? Okay. Really interesting stuff, but I love how God works all of this out. Okay. It's all really interesting things that continue to happen. But what have we learned? Okay. Peter had a vision. Okay. All right. He's supposed to go with some people. The Spirit talked to him. Right. So we've got some information, but we don't have enough to really fully understand everything because we don't fully understand the vision. We know what it said, but we need to apply it to the context of the rest of the story and everything that's happening. That's the only way to be able to do that. That's why we continue to read so that way we can fully understand the whole thing of it. We don't make assumptions right away, okay? Like the other things, we could understand perfectly, very clear. Cornelius, centurion, all of these things. So now we've got to read a little bit more, okay? Sorry, I feel lost. I feel like I'm missing something. Okay, never mind. I was looking at the wrong page, okay? Hey, it happens, all right? No one's perfect, okay? All right? I told you I got a lot of mistakes, all right? That was last week, all right? So, if we continue on, verse 24 through 33, it says, the following day he arrived at Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. Stand up, he said. I am only a man myself. While talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, you are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me? Cornelius answered, 3 days ago I was in my house praying at this hour at 3 p.m. Suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the house of Simon the Tanner, who lives by the sea. I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us. Here's where the story really builds, right? This is where we're starting to reach the climax. We haven't even reached the climax yet, okay? That's still actually pretty much at the end of chapter 10, okay? Well, what have we learned, okay? Well, we've learned some pretty good things, all right? We've learned that Peter is actually pretty humble, okay? Because immediately he comes in and he's like, I'm a man myself, stand up. Like, you don't, like, I'm not Jesus, okay? Like, get up, all right? I'm nothing special, all right? First thing that we automatically learn. But the second thing we learn is that Peter says, it is unlawful for me to be with you. Okay? It is against the law. Now, here's the interesting thing. If you actually look at the Old Testament laws, there's actually not really a law that says he can't visit or associate with Gentiles. So what exactly does this mean? Well, in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 3, it says, do not intermarry with them. Do not give your daughters to their sons or take their daughters for your sons. Okay? Very simple, pretty straightforward. The problem is that they failed at this a lot. Okay, like a lot. And it got them in a lot of trouble. Okay, like constantly, they just could not follow this thing that God told them to do. So you know what they did? They did what a lot of reasonable people honestly would do. They stopped associating with them. Okay, because if you can't follow it, you make it harder to even follow. Where you're like, well, if I can't marry them, I might as well just ignore them. I might as well treat them differently. I might as well not even visit with them. I might as well not even eat with them because it's going to be a whole lot easier than associating with them and getting in and wanting to get in a relationship with one because, let's just be honest, that's how that works, okay? Right? You want to get married? You got to talk to people, okay? Right? That's how those things happen. You create a relationship. You hang out. You do all those things. So what do? They stopped hanging out with them. Okay? And they made it a law themselves. They're like, this is not okay. We need to back up. Okay? But it came to the point where, like, it became pretty much racial. Right? It became discriminatory. They started treating them very differently, saying, you can't even worship our God because we are better than you. That's where it ended up becoming. Okay? That's where society ended up taking it to that point. Okay? So that's what we understand the difference between Jews and Gentiles. All right? So it's really interesting. All of it is super interesting. It's curious. It's like, wow, never knew any of that. Okay? But Peter's like, okay, well, God's given me this vision. He's given me all these things. And I'm starting to understand that God loves these people too. God is telling me that he has made the Gentiles clean. We have been calling them unclean. We've been calling them impure. And yet that is untrue. And that God's hand can reach anybody. That he now had to learn. He had to remove the stigma from his life and be able to say, you know what? I have to look at people differently. I've been doing this wrong. I've been taught wrong since I was a kid, and I need to work to change my ways. Right? So he stays with them. And we read that. We're almost through the rest of it, okay? Verse 34 says, then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts every nation, the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all people, but by witnesses from God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. This is a great sermon. I'm not even preaching. He is. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. That's the climax. So much just happened. It's crazy. Okay? Peter just preached for me. It was great. All right? I didn't have to do a thing. I just had to read it. And I guarantee you that's probably how Peter was even saying it. He's on fire. He's enjoying it because he loves to talk about Jesus Christ. This is what he does. Okay? This is where he's at. It's everything that has come to fruition. He's learned that God doesn't show favoritism, okay? He's learned so many different things that he never thought he could learn before about God's love, about how he cares for people. The realization that Peter has now had, but even more, God takes it a step further to prove to Peter that the Gentiles are clean and pure. And you want to know what I believe happened? This is my personal opinion, okay? I believe that while they're hearing this message, while Peter's preaching to them and he's sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, he's sharing about the forgiveness of sins and what happened on the cross and the rising of the dead, and they're sitting there in their seats. And I believe in that instant, they're like, Jesus, we believe in you and we accept your forgiveness. And in that moment, I believe that they were saved right then and there. And so God, choosing to show Peter Peter up even further and say, I'm going to baptize them in the Holy Spirit. I'm going to let them speak in tongues. It's going to be the exact same experience that you had. And you want to know what? You didn't even lay a hand on them. You didn't even pray for them, because it's I who save, not you. That's what he was teaching Peter. Because Peter could really get a big head. Acts chapter 2, right? He gets filled with the Holy Spirit. He's doing his thing. All these people outside. And he begins to preach. And 3,000 people come to Christ and get baptized that same day. I'm sorry, but I'd probably get a big head myself if that happened to me. So you know what? God's going to humble Peter. Okay? He's going to make sure that Peter stays in his lane. He's going to be a... This moment is the catalyst for Paul's ministry moving forward to go to the Gentiles. Because after this, you go to the next chapter, chapter 11, Peter shares this story and everything that happened with the other apostles. He goes back to Jerusalem and he's all like, this is what happened. And they're like, we accept it. This was the catalyst to change the culture, to change the future. This was that story. This was the power of it. And there's even more. Because what you don't realize is when you look at everything that happened, and even you look back at the vision that Peter had, and they're sitting there, right? And he has this trance. He has this vision. But God gives him a command. This is the part I skipped over for you guys to be able to bring it to the end. Okay? Jesus is continuing to change the culture of the Jews, because the whole... There's a couple different reasons, but there's reasons why they weren't able to eat certain animals. They weren't able to eat certain things in the Old Testament, okay? Now, a lot of people will read that vision and be like, oh, but it's just a metaphor to be able to help Peter understand that the people that he was considering unclean, God has now made them clean. Now, here's the interesting thing, though. God gives Peter the command to kill and eat. He's not telling him to go kill the Gentiles and eat them, okay? So why would God give that command if he's only given a metaphor? No, God's saying, I've changed the law, because when Jesus Christ was on the cross, he said, it is finished. Meaning he fulfilled the law. He has done it, okay? And everything that the Jews were meant to do was to be able to help set them apart. So they didn't eat certain things. They didn't do certain things. They didn't do these things. They didn't do that things. And Jesus is saying that I have now made those things clean for you to be able to use, for you to be able to glorify me through. Okay? We can make anything unclean, but it's God who cleans it. He's the one that cleans us. And you know what? The best part about everything about this entire chapter is that God loves you. My biggest takeaway is that God loves you. He cares for these so much, right? And we can clearly tell that he cares about the lowly. We already learned that from reading this, right? That he believes that we should be a part of taking care of them. But here's the other thing that I learned from all of this. It's that God cares about the little things in our lives. He cared enough about Peter to make sure that he stayed humble through this entire situation, through this entire ordeal. He's like, I need you to stay humble. I need you to know where the power really comes from. It doesn't come from you. It comes from me. It comes from him. Everything that we do, it comes from him. It's not I who save. It's his words. It's his power. When I speak Jesus, when I speak about his good news, when I speak about what he did, that's where the power lies. Not me. Not my words. They're his words. And they are that powerful. He cares about each of you enough to be able to say, you know what? Even your little insecurity, and you have trouble leaving the house late at night, I got you. I'll help you through it. Even your insecurity of being home alone, I got you. You're worried about your car, he says, I got you. Worried about your relatives, your family members, he says, I got you. That's Jesus. That's our Heavenly Father who says, I care about the small things. Worship team, would you come up? I'm going to share one more story. And this story is going to be interesting. You guys have probably never heard a story like this, and maybe you have, and that's going to be awesome. But I'm going to share a story from when I was really young, okay? I was really young. I was a kid. We grew up saying we were Christian, and we occasionally went to church, but I didn't really know who Jesus was. I didn't know anything about the Bible. I didn't know anything about God. But one day, I'm sitting in my room. Me and my brother shared a room. We had a bunk bed, and I had the bunk bed, of course, because I'm the small guy, because he was 6 years older than I was. So I did what my brother told me to do, okay? Right? But there's one day, I don't even know if we had recently been to church at all. My mom used to go to church a lot. She went to the Florida Brownsville Revival. Not Brownsville. I don't remember which one it was. It was long ago. It was before, I don't even think I was born yet. Let's just be honest, okay? Or I was just born. It was the early 90s, okay? But I lost something. Now, you guys are going to think this is weird, but this is the 90s, okay? All right? I lost a book lamp. Okay, for those of you guys who know what that is, it clips onto your book. This thing was ginormous, though, okay? This thing was a honker, and it was heavy, all right? And it was so I could read books in the dark, okay? It was a book lamp. It's very simple what it was. And I lost it, okay? I didn't have many things growing up, so when I lost them, like, it was kind of devastating. It's devastating for an eight-year-old, okay? All right, it's just what it is. So I went to my mom. I was like, I can't find it. I've torn my room apart. Like, I can't find it anywhere. So you know what my mom tells me to do? She says, I want you to go and pray to Jesus, and I want you to go lay in your bed and you wait for an answer. Okay. Well, being the simple-minded child that I am, I went and did it. And I'm laying there and I prayed and I was like, Jesus, can you help me find my book lamp? And that's literally all I prayed. That's all I did. I believed my mom, though. I had the faith, and as I'm laying there, I had a vision. My book lamp was under my pillow, and it rolled, and it fell down the wall, under the bed, under my brother's bed, and behind something that I didn't move earlier when I was looking under the bed. And when the vision was over, I was so excited. I was like, I know where it's at. I got up, I ran up on my bed, and I leaned over my brother's bed. I was still small enough so I could fit my head in between the everything. And I moved the object out of the way, and there it was. There was my book lamp. And there was the beginning of my faith in Jesus Christ that I could have never predicted for the future of me. And just the fact that God cared about a little child's book lamp. But what it caused was for me to have faith in something higher and to prepare me for what was to come. Sometimes things take time, guys, because we're human and He's given us free will. So sometimes some people take a little bit longer to be able to get there than others. Sometimes it means there's going to be a little bit of a challenge. There's going to be a little bit of a road that's going to have to take place. And you're going to have to lean on the Word of God. You're going to have to lean on your faith a little bit more. You're going to have to trust and be able to say, God, I'm going to be in your hands. I know it's a little rocky right now, but you know what? I'm going to stay the course. I'm going to stay the path until you told me to turn a different way. I'm going to be right here waiting for your answer. Sometimes all we have to do is just wait for the answer. Sometimes we don't wait. You know how many phone calls I've gotten as a pastor? So many different times. And it's like, Pastor, I have a question. Half an hour later, now I get to answer the question. They didn't really have a question. They wanted to talk. They wanted someone to agree with them. They didn't really want someone to challenge them. 90% of the phone calls I will receive, it's just someone who's hoping, praying that they're in the right when they really know that they're in the wrong. But they're just searching, and so they're calling all the churches, hoping someone's going to agree with them. 90% of the time, I'm like, you're not right. No, you shouldn't be doing that. Please don't live with that person. No, you should not be happy that someone's in pain just because they hurt you. That's not what God tells us. That's not what that means. And I know maybe not everyone likes challenges, but challenges are a part of life. Okay? If everyone would you bow your head and close your eyes? I want to ask everyone a question. And I just want to ask a simple question. Do you have something going on in your life right now where you can say, you know what, I need an answer from God? Or you say, you know what, I want to deal with my insecurities. I want to deal with what is in front of me. Maybe you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your life. And you know what? You might say, I'm not perfect right now, but you know what? God can help me. And if you want that help today, I want you to raise your hand. If you say, I need Jesus Christ in my life to make things better, I want you to raise your hand this morning. I see your hand. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. We all need Jesus Christ in our life. Some of us need to push us a little bit harder. Thank you for raising your hands, those people. If you guys would with me today, no one praying alone, pray this prayer. Repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I accept your forgiveness. I accept your love and your grace and mercy. Help me with what's going on in my life. Heal my heart. Heal the past wounds. And bring me into communion with you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to the podcast of Radius Church in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please check us out at radiuschurch.live or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation.